Hello, welcome to My Camino, the podcast. I'm Dan Mullins. This is a weekly broadcast about the Camino de Santiago, or the Way of St. James. The Camino is a series of pilgrimages across Europe. Pilgrims walk for a range of reasons. More often than not, it's to provide time to learn a little bit more about themselves. We simply never have time to contemplate the big questions when we're in the midst of our crazy, busy lives. A new study published this week found we're increasingly shopping while sitting on the couch. It's not good news for the retail sector or shops on the high street. And we're told staying in is the new going out. People are watching streaming services. They're getting food and groceries delivered. PayPal conducted the research. It said there's been a decline in online shoppers booking concert and theatre tickets, flights and hotel getaways compared with last year. Forget about staying in. We're boring. The American broadcaster and author Earl Nightingale said, "We all walk in the dark and each of us must learn to turn on his or her own light. The Camino is a good switch." I first noticed my guests this week when a Camino blog appeared on my social media feed. Before I knew it, I'd been reading and smiling for more than an hour. The blog is called Camino Life. It's the brainchild of Marie Lau Florin and her husband Torben. Marie is on the line. Welcome, Pilgrim.
Hi.
It's great to have you on the podcast. Where are you?
I'm in Denmark right now, in my home north of Copenhagen.
You know, the very first thing I read on your blog was, "We are a Danish couple who have given our hearts to this ancient Spanish path and feel a profound call to share this love with the world." How did all this come about?
Actually, it happened kind of early in my life. I was at a wedding in Spain when I was 21 years old. And I saw these signs on the houses, and I saw shells on the roads and yellow arrows, and I didn't know what it was. So I asked my Spanish friend. This was in 1999, I think. I asked my friend who was getting married, "What am I seeing?" Because I always stopped and had and looked at these shells, and I felt something. I didn't know what it was. And then I asked her about it, and she told me about El Camino de Santiago. And to me, it sounded completely stupid, but I was so interested in hearing more. On this travel, I also saw some young people wearing backpacks, and they were obviously dirty and extremely exhausted, but they had this kind of aura about them. They had some kind of light in their eyes, and I got even more curious. So when I got back from the wedding, I started reading about it, the Camino. But actually, sometimes I think my first Camino took 17 years, because I spent 17 years thinking whether I could do it or not, and whether it was okay to leave my kids for some weeks to go walking through Spain. I had a lot of thoughts about this. And as years passed by, I got more kids. So in the end, I had three. And I ended up walking with one of them. My first Camino was Camino Inglés with my teenage daughter, and that's 4 years ago now.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that, because that in itself is a really beautiful story. But first of all, let me ask you, Marie, is the Camino well known in Denmark?
Yeah, it's quite well known. I would say if you compare the number of pilgrims with the number of inhabitants in each country, I think Denmark is number six or something on that list, because we're a very small country, but kind of many people go walking the Camino now.
You know,
so I'd heard of it from friends as well.
Yeah.
Danes love the Camino.
Yeah, the Danes love the Camino. I have a great friend of mine who I walked with, who I've seen twice on the Camino, Jasper. He's Danish.
Yeah.
And he has walked. Yeah. He has walked many times. In fact, I should clarify that I never actually walked much with him, because he's way too fast for me.
Yeah,
he's crazy fast.
You have to have the same pace, right?
Yeah. You know, I loved that you and Torben met. How you met? You went for a walk. Tell us that story.
So we, I was at a dating site some years after I got divorced. I'm divorced from my children's father. And I went to this dating site, and it was possible to tell the dating site how far away can this new love be. And I said 1 kilometer. So that's not very far. But I did this because I knew I have my roots here. We live right by the ocean, right by the forest, close to Copenhagen. Very, very nice place. And I knew I wanted to stay here. I knew I had my roots here. So I thought maybe someone else lives right by. I just don't know him. I just haven't found him yet. So I said 1 kilometer, and I had the choice of 7 men. And one of them was Torben. And I read I read all his text, and having read that, I said, okay, that's it. I didn't need to look at anything else, because I was quite sure that he was this profound soul that I had been searching for, and this friend in life that I had been searching for. He said nothing about his work life or all the surface of his life. He only wrote about inner feelings and inner life. So I didn't know anything about him. I didn't even know he had kids. He has 3 kids as well. And when we first met, we just wrote a couple of emails and met the same day to go for a walk. And I don't know why, but I told him, why don't we meet at the church in the forest? And we did this. And right as when we saw each other, the church bells started to ring. Mm. And this moment was so strong. I'm not religious in any way, and he's not either. But we couldn't speak because of these church bells, and we just had to stand there and look at each other. Then we walked for maybe an hour and a half in the forest. And when we came back, it wasn't goodbye. I think he said something like, "Should we go for another walk?" And then we walked the same route again. So we actually fell in love while walking.
Yeah. I love that story. I love it. I read it on your website, and I thought, I've got to get Marie to tell that story herself. And how many Caminos have you walked together now then?
Let me see. We've walked the Camino Portuguese together. That was his first Camino and my number 3. And then we've walked the Camino San Aves, which is a very nice Camino, and one of the endings to Via de la Plata. And then we are walking Camino Frances now together.
You say since you walked your first Camino, the Camino has been calling you, both of you, and you spend all the time that you can on the Camino. Tell me about the calling. What does it sound like?
Actually, I think it's more like a feeling of a person always being in my life, or a life situation, in the sense that I have this longing in my everyday life to go walking, and I would say when I first got to the Camino 4 years ago, I thought it was something that I was going to complete, and then I would be happy. And then I realized it wasn't an end to a dream; it was a beginning of a dream. And I was completely shocked about this when I came home, because I thought I would come home with a memory of a Camino, and then that would be it. But instantly, when reaching the cathedral in the days after, and when returning to Denmark, I dreamt of a new Camino. So that longing has become part of my everyday life. And the way I'm when I walk the Camino, I see all the small details in nature. I see how the sun enlightens something when I walk. I feel the wind on my body, and this ability to feel and enjoy nature. I've brought that with me back, and it reminds me of the Camino every day in a very beautiful way. So now I've kind of accepted that it's a way of that it has changed my whole life. It wasn't a travel. It wasn't the one a thing I was supposed to do once. It has changed everything.
I don't normally get teary, but I've got a bit of a tear in my eye. I don't know why. But you work at the Forest and Landscape College at the University of Copenhagen. So the outdoors is a huge part of your life. Let me ask you, this might be a difficult question, but I'm certain you know the answer if anybody does. What can we learn from nature?
I think we can learn that things in life are more of a unity than we sometimes think. Mm. That everything we encounter in life is a part of the same story. Sometimes I think when I walk through Spain and I see areas where there has been a fire, a nature fire, and I see things growing again. I think a lot about this as nature has its own rhythm as well, and nature has its own challenges as well.
Yeah.
And it always tries to grow on and to get back to what there was. And I think of this in my own life as well, because when I started walking, I had difficult situations in my life. I started walking the Camino about 5 years after my youngest son got cancer. And I was working a lot on this. And even though my backpack at that time was 5 kilos, I think it was much more heavier if you look at the weight of my emotions in the bag. And it helped me a lot thinking about difficult things while walking. I felt like a part of something bigger. And it gave me some kind of relief that I was not alone in the world carrying this backpack. I was with people. I was a part of something bigger, and I was not the only one who had had the challenges and pain in my life. And this gave me a comfort that I have that I still have today, and a belief in what people can do together and how we can carry each other's burdens.
How is your son? What? Tell us that story.
He's well today.
Oh, how wonderful! How
he
old is he now?
He was sick for about a year, but the doctors actually saved his life. So I'm very, very, very grateful for that.
What a wonderful!
But still, it's been a very painful and difficult part of my life, which I can still feel at times now. But he's well and a very strong young guy by now, 12 years old.
Oh, I'm sure it was a very difficult time for you. I said in my introduction, Marie, we never have time to contemplate the big questions when we're in the midst of our crazy, busy lives. But you just touched on it there, a big question, a big issue, a big thing in your life. Nature is good for those big questions, isn't it?
Exactly. It does something to you. And another thing I thought about is that when you walk the Camino, your body and your soul becomes a unity as well. Because you can never walk further or faster than your body allows you to. Then if you're in pain, you cannot walk. You cannot just walk whatever you want. And the same thing for your thoughts and emotions. If you don't take care of those, they'll bring you down, actually. And that's what I think is so interesting, that sometimes in my life I just do what I want to do with my head. I just keep on going. I don't listen to my body. I don't feel my body. But the Camino has taught me that it's a unity, and that the body and the soul can support each other in a very beautiful way. And that connection has become very important to me, also in my everyday life.
That's a great answer. Can I ask you something? This is perhaps another difficult question, but I'm certain you'll be able to answer it. Do you think pilgrims, people drawn to the Camino like you and Torben and me, have an inbuilt curiosity?
I would think so. But it's very different how you handle this, because people sometimes people have the curiosity and they want to go, but they still carry a large portion of control. The modern human being kind of, I want to know where I sleep, to know what happens. I want to know what I can eat and whatever. I think it's very funny to look at all the pilgrim groups and conversation groups on the internet and the things people ask about, because it's usually the part of life that they want control over. Mm. So even though they have this huge curiosity on the Camino, they still ask, where can I have my hair done in Pamplona? Can you recommend some place to have my hair done? Or I want perfect Camino nails. Do you have any creative ideas? Or and I think it's so funny. On this Camino, I met a wonderful guy, and unfortunately, I'm not into contact with him. But he told me about his first Camino. He's a very lightweight guy, and he loves everything about outdoor life, and he's very into the gear he has in his backpack. So before embarking the Camino, he had found this ultra lightweight chair. And he had this chair in his backpack because he wanted to sit on the chair and enjoy nature and all sorts of things. But the problem is that the chair wasn't the only thing in his backpack, so it wasn't lightweight at all, and he was having a lot of pain, a lot of problems because of all this gear. And he didn't really realize the problem until he met another pilgrim, a girl, who asked him, "But please tell me, did you bring furniture for a hike through Spain?" And this question made him go to the post office to send back the chair to the U.S. So even though if we're curious on the Camino, sometimes we keep holding on to the material. The do you call it material items?
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
That gives you some, that you think give you some sort of security, and then maybe you realize along the way that it's actually about the inner peace and not about what things can make you feel or not feel. That's my experience.
Yeah, but that's exactly the reason why I'm talking to you, because on the blog and website CaminoLife.com. You talk about keeping things very simple, and I like that because it's not just keeping things simple on the Camino, but it's also about keeping things simple in life. But I wonder, what can we learn about ourselves from a simpler life?
I think if you take away the unimportant things, what you have left is the real value. I think it's kind of frightening to walk several hundred kilometers with a backpack of maybe 5 or 6 kilos, and then returning to a modern home and looking at it with new eyes. Because I mean, if you've been away for weeks and you've been at the most happy and balanced situation in your life, and you return to all this material stuff, it kind of scares me why I collected all these things. And And I'm curious about what did I think when I, let's say, when I bought 20 glasses for the kitchen, what were I thinking? And when I bought a lot of clothes that I don't even have the time to wear, what was I thinking? Was I thinking it would make me happier? Because I think that must have been the thought behind buying these things. But I think there's a great freedom in having only what you need and nothing more. So my life at home has become more simple. I'm beginning to give away things, not buy that many things as I used to, and kind of seeing what do I really need.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because you mentioned earlier that you and Torben have 6 children at home, a combined family. What do the children make of your Camino journey? You and Torben have clearly undergone this big transformation. You talked there about simpler life. What do the children make of it all?
They are very different, our 6 children. And by now, 3 of them have walked the Camino. And number 4, my son, who's 12 years old, he really wants to walk with me, and he's at the stage now where he asks me, "Mom, what are the arguments that you're not bringing me?" He's, if you have any good arguments not to bring me, tell me. And actually, I don't have any good arguments, so I might bring him next time. I think I'm bringing him soon, But I would say that that the kids who have walked the Camino with us, they wanted to go, and they've been very curious about this this ancient path that kind of changed our lives. Just I wouldn't say overnight, but in a week or in 2 weeks, it completely changed our lives and our way of living, our everyday life as well. So they've been curious about what happened, and they want to hear everything about it. And they all, it's been very funny because I thought maybe it might not be that nice if your 40-year-old mom starts a blog. That's not a teenage dream, right? but they've been very supporting, and I think it's so funny finding out that my daughter actually recommends Camino Life to her friends if they want to walk the Camino, and she's actually proud of the story, and it makes sense to her as well.
Yeah.
And actually to both of my daughters. So they've been curious like us, and right now the first daughter I walked with, she's walking alone this summer. She's 18 years old today. And my other daughter, we are walking next Camino together also this year. So I think they're sharing the dream.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. People ask you, and you address it on your on the blog, how you can afford to walk so often. But I thought I liked your quote in the answer to that question. You say, it's about getting more magical experiences while spending less. That's a great answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Just take us through
it's
that.
It's also because I found out that, I mean, there are wonderful restaurants in Spain, but sometimes the most magic meal is when you're sitting on top of some mountain that you climbed yourself, and you're so hungry that bread from yesterday is really magic. In my experience, it's not about how much you pay for staying someplace at the night or if you go out and eat or not. So one of the ways we keep down expenses is we usually buy food and at the supermarket instead of going out dining. But honestly, it's not something I think that much about when I'm there. It's more like it's become a habit that just knowing that it's not the price you pay that makes you more happy. It's the situation and eating when you're really hungry and not because you're able to to do it.
Let's talk about the nuts and bolts of the Camino. We talked just now about spending less. How much do you think we ought to, if someone's listening to us, how much should they budget each day?
I think it's very individual because some people really need the comfort of having a private room, for instance, every day. So they use more, and I would say how you spend the night is the most important part of a Camino budget. So I would say if you stay at the public albergues and dormitories, I maybe spend about 25 or 30 euros a day, and I buy absolutely everything I want to buy. I feel I live like a king, even though I sleep in a dormitory, but that's my budget if I travel like that. But if I have, I've had Caminos as well where I've slept at private rooms. For instance, I came back last week from the Camino Frances, and we slept almost every night, or maybe half of the nights at the private rooms. That's a bit more expensive than I would say. For each person, maybe 40 euros a day.
Right. 40 euros. Okay, well, that's good advice. But you say on the blog, and I was really interested about one aspect of it, that you carry only about 6 kilos of gear. How do you keep your pack so light?
I only bring one of each thing. That means if I have a pair of trekking trousers, I have one pair. And if I bring a sweater, it's one sweater. The only thing I have two of is my underwear, because I want to be able to wash every day, so I carry two pairs. I carry one and an extra pair. And my socks, obviously, so that I'm able to wash one pair and wear the other one. So bringing only one of each is a way of bringing down weight. And then I look at the things when I'm packing, and I ask myself, what is this thing telling me? And if I want to carry the thing because I'm afraid of something, then I go into I start speaking to this thing and looking at my fear. And my greatest fear on the Camino has been rain. So I brought a lot of useless, I shouldn't say shit, but you know what I mean, useless gear. And I think the only reason was that I was so afraid of getting soaking wet, and I was afraid of freezing. And I had all this... these thoughts in my head. I thought, what if it's going to rain? What if I can't find a place to rest while it's raining? What if my hair gets wet and I start freezing? If I start freezing, what if I get sick? If I get sick, will I have to stop walking? If I don't get well again, will I have to return home? So I have this long chain of worries about rain. So my bag got heavier and heavier on this Camino, and I didn't use any of that rain gear because it wasn't useful, it wasn't helpful, and I ended up with just one thing for rain, and that's my rain poncho that really for me does it all. So that was one way of getting the weight down, taking out my gaiters, and I had brought all sorts of stupid things, plastic bags for my shoes and the rain hats. And I don't even remember what I was carrying on that Camino. So dealing with your fear, whatever you're afraid of, brings down the weight in your backpack.
What about water? How much water do you carry?
That depends on the Camino. When we walked the last part of Via de la Plata, we brought quite much water. I think 1.5 liters each. And that was because we didn't find... on the first day, we were very surprised not to find anywhere to get water. And it was a kind of remote area, so we didn't just pass by a house where we could get water. No shops, no nothing. So that was when we started carrying a lot of water. But I don't do that any longer. On the Camino Frances, for instance, you have a lot of possibilities. So I drink a whole liter when I get up in the morning, in order to have a good balance in my body. So I drink 1 liter, and then I start walking. And that means it takes a little more time before I get thirsty. And it allows me to bring maybe only half a liter or a little more in my bag, and that brings down the weight as well.
If someone's listening and they're thinking of walking, can they get supplies along the way if they need them?
Sometimes, yes. But again, or most of the time. But it depends very much on the route. I would say that the number of pilgrims and the number of services and possibilities of sleeping and supplies, everything, they go very much hand in hand. So if you choose like the French route or the route in Portugal, you have a lot of possibilities.
Mm, yeah.
And if you walk the caminos less traveled by, like we do very often, then you have less possibilities. But the funny thing is you always find food. I remember one day on Via de la Plata, we hadn't been planning very much. And it was a Sunday, and after walking 20 kilometers, we still hadn't found anything at all. No open cafe, no supermarket, no nothing. But then we got to this tiny hamlet with a huge party, and I thought, but no food, only alcohol. So I thought, well, I have to find a solution. And I just walked up to a Spanish woman, looking a bit like my grandma. And I told her, we're pilgrims, we're hungry, can you help us? And she said, of course I will, just give me half an hour, I'll be back. And then she took her little red car and she went home and made us a tortilla and got some tomatoes from the garden, a bottle of wine, and then she was back in half an hour with all this food just for us, this freshly cooked tortilla. And that tells me a lot about this. You say the Camino provides. There is always a solution. And this was a very lovely one to me because it's a classic example of how much the locals help and support you while you're walking the Camino. They'll do kind of everything for you. If you have a problem, they feel they have a problem as well. And they will simply start solving it with you.
How fantastic. You know, I love that. You know, let's go back to your very first Camino. Did you realize then that it would have such an important impact on your life?
Not at all. Actually, it was funny because I thought this was going to be one Camino and then that was it. So I decided not to to buy more than one thing for this Camino. So we just used some bags we had already they're not proper bags. They don't have a hip belt. They're not constructed to walk. It was something like a school bag we were walking with.
Oh, gosh.
And we didn't have any trekking shoes. We just walked in the shoes we walk in every day. And all of our gear was like that. So I brought the things I used to run in. I just walked, brought those things. And it was a great Camino. We didn't... Of course, now I can see we were having some problems that we could have avoided, but it was a great freedom just leaving your life with whatever you have and not making some sort of gear theater out of a Camino, because you don't need to. You can do with very little. And that was an important experience for me that I still think about.
What's the most important thing about being a pilgrim?
To me, one of the most important things is realizing that it's an inner journey.
Mm.
It's not a sports competition. You could think sports when you hear about people walking 25 kilometers a day, but it's really not about that. It's about the work you do with yourself, with your challenges in life, and the work you do with the ones you walk with. It's much more about that than about the outer landscape or the sports part of it.
You know, do you and Torben write the blog while you're actually on the Camino, or do you do it when you come home?
Usually I write while I walk.
Right.
So when I get back, tired after a day, I look at, I do a few notes during the day, and then I have a look at all the pictures I've taken, and I start writing something. Usually if I want to, I post it somewhere on Facebook or Instagram. And then when I come home, I kind of collect the moments to a story that I put on the blog.
So did you take a tablet with you or a computer, or are you doing it on your phone?
On my phone.
Okay.
Or on paper. If I just want to write when I come home, I do it on paper. But when I start a Camino, I never know if I'm going to write or not. I'm a journalist, and writing is a very, it's part of me. To write is part of me.
Mm.
But I cannot force it. I cannot decide when it's about the Camino or something that's personal to me. I cannot just decide I want to write now. If it comes, it comes. And if it doesn't come, it doesn't come. In April, I walked the whole Camino without writing a word. So when people ask me, oh, please share, please write something when you walk, I have to say, I will. If I have something to say, I will. But sometimes I don't.
You know, I saw on your blog a great picture of you and your daughter. You just finished the Camino Inglés, and you were both glowing.
Yeah.
How do you describe the energy of the Camino?
To me, it's the most important energy is warmth and connection between people. When I walk into the cathedral, what I feel inside is something glowing or something like warmth. And I recognize the feeling. In Scandinavia, the campfire is a very strong force, and it's something that brings people together. If you live in a cold part of the world, the campfire is something that you meet around. It's a place to talk. It's a place to connect. And that sometimes, even though you never see a campfire on the Camino, you feel it somehow. You still feel it somehow. The way people connect through something warm and meaningful. So I would say warmth is the Camino for me.
Do you ever get lost?
On the Camino?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sure, I do.
And you love it, right?
sometimes when I am lost, I don't love it. But afterwards, I realized that it gave me something.
Yeah, that's it.
I must say, it doesn't happen when I walk with my husband. It doesn't happen. But when I walk with myself, no matter how well the signposting is, I do get lost. And usually I think it's some kind of present, even though if you're going to walk maybe 30 kilometers that day, it might not feel like a present if you realize you walked two extra ones or four extra ones. But there is always some lesson in it for me.
Mm.
Maybe the thought of why did I get lost? I got lost because I was kind of having my smartphone attached to my face. because people were writing me on Facebook and I wanted to answer, and I was really not there. I was just walking I was seduced by this phone, and I got lost. And thinking about that now, it seems completely stupid. Why was I walking like that? But maybe the truth is that you walk the Camino the way you walk your life, the way you live your life. So at that time, I was having problems with my smartphone. It was taking over my life. And seeing how stupid it was on the Camino made me realize that it's all about being where you are and not in the phone.
You know, Murray, in the course of my research, I came across a video of you with your favorite shoes, and they are the same favorite shoes as my favorite shoes, and they are Blundstone boots. They're Australian leather boots. And I said to you, well, I wear them every time I play a gig. I'm a musician. I wear my Blundstones. They're my comfortable shoes. If I'm going out for a night out, I wear my Blundstones. And you said you walk the Camino in them. And now these are not hiking shoes. These are leather boots. And you walk the Camino in them.
Yeah, I do. I do. But that's because I've been looking at, if you have a shoe for your everyday life that never gives you any problems and that supports your feet every day, and if your feet thank you every day for wearing these boots, why not walk in them? So I started walking longer and longer. On a usual day, I might walk 5 kilometers, go for a 5 kilometer walk. Then I tried 10 kilometers, then I tried 15 kilometers, and I just realized I have no problems whatsoever with Blundstones. So what they do well in my daily life, they do well when walking. So I've walked several Caminos in Blundstones. And what I like about them is that they support your foot very well. They take the shape of your foot, and that's what becomes the shape of the boot. So if you try your colleagues' Blundstones or your friends' Blundstones, they might not fit you because they have the shape of another person's foot. But if you're wearing your own Blundstones, I would say you can walk an entire Camino.
No.
I put extra inner soles with the extra shock protection. And that's kind of all I do. And then I change socks every second hour because it's a hot shoe. But I change socks every second hour, and then I never have blisters or any kind of foot problems.
Well, my listeners will know, as a musician, I play regularly, and whenever I go out to a gig, to get in the mood, I put on my Blundstones. So right. And here we are sharing, you're walking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kilometers in them. That is a great story. I'm sure, Murray, you have a wonderful Camino story to tell, some special place, a special moment, some story worth sharing. Tell us a Camino story.
Then it's got to be what happened on the Camino Frances last week, because this thing about the body and the soul being a unity is very basic to me. And when we started on the French Camino, on the first day we had to pass the Pyrenees, and it went very well. It was I've been waiting 20 years to walk that stage, and it was a huge experience. I was like flying over the mountains. I felt I could do anything, really. So we walked the whole stretch on the first day. And then the next day we were punished because when we started out, I had the most extreme pain in my thighs. And I started thinking about this, why am I having this pain? And then I thought about, I've been gaining a lot of weight during the last maybe 4 or 5 months. So I started arguing with myself, talking bad to myself about my extra weight, and I was very angry with myself, and this continued for day two and three. And then in the middle of day three, I was at a cafe eating tortilla, and I actually gave up and thought, well, I'll skip the last 6 kilometers today. I really had no more energy. I was my own company was so bad to me that I felt I couldn't get away from myself and my extra weight. And I decided to take a taxi. And then in this bar, there was a little guy from Sicily. We didn't know him at all, but he could see that I was having problems, that I was sad, and I was asking him the price for a taxi. And then he said, I'll carry your bag. And in the beginning, I thought, did I hear some stranger telling me that he was going to carry my bag? I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And then at first I just talked more about the taxi, but then he said it again in this slow way. And then I realized that it was some message from his heart. He really wanted to do this for me. So he ended up carrying my bag for the last part of the day. And it turned out this part was the part to Alto de Pardon, which is a very, very beautiful spot on the Camino with pilgrim statues from all times. I think I've never been that grateful in my life, seeing a complete stranger carrying my bag up a mountain. And suddenly I had all this energy again. I started to believe in my Camino. I started to believe in life itself, and it really showed me this thing that help is much closer than you think sometimes.
That's a great story. What would you say to someone listening to us, and they're thinking of walking the Camino? What would you say to them?
Just do it. I would say just do it, because if you're having the thought and if you're beginning to ask people about it, beginning to look at pictures, it's usually some kind of calling. It's because you're supposed to go. I have no other things in my life where I feel this, I feel a call, this significant. But I really believe that the Camino calls you.
Mm. Sure is. Sure does. I just said sure is. There might be a message in that.
Yeah.
Marie, congratulations on the blog. And the overall website is outstanding. It's a terrific resource for people preparing to walk the Camino. And it's also a wonderful site for people like me who can never get enough of the Camino. Thank you so much for your time, Marie. Give our regards to Torben. And I'm sure there are many, many more journeys to come. Buen Camino.
Buen Camino.
My guest this week, the Danish pilgrim Marie Lau Florin, who, with her husband Torben, runs the blog and website CaminoLife.com. CaminoLife.com. You'll love it. My apologies this week for my voice. I don't seem to be able to shake this bug that I've been carrying for a couple of weeks now, but singing 60 songs last night doesn't help it either. I hope you'll forgive me. Remember this week's quote from the American broadcaster and author Earl Nightingale: "We all walk in the dark, and each of us must learn to turn on his or her own light." Let's share the electricity around the world. Until next week, I'm Dan Mullins. Buen Camino.
Somewhere along the way, somewhere along the way.